You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ted Woodward and John Widmer. This is Woodward and Witt on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is coming up on 8 o'clock, and you are with us here on this Tuesday morning, January 6th. We'll talk more about the Maduro situation. And currently in Wichita, it is mostly clear. 44 degrees here on this Tuesday morning, January 6th. Ousted Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife pleading not guilty to drug trafficking charges in their first court appearance in New York.
Maduro and his wife Celia Flores were defiant when they appeared in federal court on Monday. Maduro saying, "My name is President Nicolas Maduro Moros, President of Venezuela. I am here kidnapped, and I am here since January 3rd, Saturday. I was captured at my home in Caracas, Venezuela. I am innocent. I am not guilty. I am a decent human." But Attorney General Pam Bondi says the Maduros are responsible for many deaths and should face justice. Maduro and his wife are scheduled to appear in court again on March 17th.
And that's Fox's Madeline Rivera with that report.
A man has died after being hit by a vehicle in northeast Wichita Monday evening. Around 7 p.m., officers responded to the intersection of 21st and Woodlawn to a report of a vehicle versus pedestrian crash. Wichita Police Sergeant Jordan Edison tells our news partners at 12 News the man who died was in his 50s or 60s.
When we got on scene, there was a single vehicle involved with a pedestrian. As we arrived on scene, fire and EMS were also arriving on scene. And at this point in time, it is a fatality crash.
Sergeant Edison said the police don't believe the driver was impaired and that the pedestrian was not in a crosswalk. Police are still investigating what led to the crash and why the man was in the street.
A man charged in a DUI crash in Butler County back in June that killed three people waived his right to a preliminary hearing as attorneys entered a not guilty plea on his behalf.
A jury trial in the case against 24-year-old Tyler Beauclair is tentatively set for March 10th. Beauclair is accused of crashing into a truck, killing Elliot Britton Eichbauer, a Wichita teacher, his 19-year-old son Arlo, and his 16-year-old nephew Silas Eichbauer. Eichbauer was a social studies teacher at Curtis Middle School. Silas Eichbauer was a student at Wichita North High School. Beauclair from Louisiana was arrested in Indiana on July 9th and returned to Kansas. Charges against Beauclair include three counts of second-degree murder and two counts of aggravated battery while driving under the influence. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
The Wichita City Council will be discussing the city's new water treatment plant in their first meeting of the 2026 session later this week. Specifically, delays in the opening of the plant. Wichita Mayor Lily Wu spoke on Woodward and Witt's Mondays with the mayor.
What we are going to consider at tomorrow's meeting is once the new water treatment plant comes online and the city takes ownership of it, what will happen to the current water treatment plant? And so the plan is to still keep it going for emergency use only, as well as the opportunity for some reuse projects in the future.
Mayor Wu said the council will be discussing a tentative settlement in the city's lawsuit with Genesis Health Clubs over the Wichita Eye Center.
A new program intending to help expectant mothers is coming together in Michigan.
Detroit's Democratic Mayor Mary Sheffield has just taken office, and she made a big announcement on Monday.
Today, I am proud to announce something bold. A program that puts our families and our babies and our future at the very center of how we govern and how we lead.
This program would give a one-time payment of $1,500 to expecting mothers during pregnancy, $500 per month through the child's first 6 months. Michigan State University's RX Kids program expected to open in the city within the first 100 days of the mayor taking office. Sheffield was elected in November, installed last week as Detroit's first female mayor. John Saucier, Fox News.
People who had health insurance just weeks ago are now calling Wichita nonprofits asking for help in the ripple effect from expiring Affordable Care Act subsidies take hold. Organizations like Karen Health say they have already seen an increase in uninsured patients. Karen Health helps uninsured and low-income patients get prescription medications and glasses. Last year alone, they received $1.6 million in donated medications. Project Access is seeking the same trend. The organization connects uninsured patients with medical specialists who donate their care.
And we do have some traffic information to get to you and Jad Chambers.
We've got two traffic accidents that have just happened. One of them is on the ramp from north or from northbound I-135 over onto eastbound K-96. And that's actually kind of backing things up southbound on I-135 as well. Again, that's right there by K-96 and I-135. That whole area with all that road construction there, just really bad. And now just hearing about a traffic accident in Derby. Patriot and Buckner in Derby. We got a traffic accident there.
All right, there's your traffic update here with Ted and John. Where's the best place to keep your New Year's resolutions? Some cities are better than others. And a hotel in Minnesota getting some pushback after turning down some reservations. And our full weather forecast is on the way as well here on this nice Tuesday here in early January. It's 8:05 on KNSS. Here on KNSS on this Tuesday morning. A personal finance website unveiling its list of the best cities for keeping New Year's resolutions.
Wallet Hub, comparing more than 180 U.S. cities based on 57 metrics, including exercise opportunities and income growth, finding Seattle, Washington as the best city to keep New Year's resolutions. Scottsdale, Arizona, ranked in second on its list, followed by Irvine, California, Atlanta, Georgia, and Salt Lake City, Utah, Orlando, Florida, Austin, Texas, Fremont, California, San Diego, California, and Miami are among the top 10. An analyst for the personal finance website says, living in the right city can do wonders for resolutions, explaining, for example, cities with good access to healthy food and exercise opportunities can make it much easier for people to improve their health. Adding, finding out what your city excels in can help you set an achievable goal. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
A hotel in Minnesota is facing pushback for its refusal to honor reservations placed by DHS agents.
The context for this is that you have several hundred federal agents in the Twin Cities area right now doing both immigration enforcement and investigating the allegations of widespread fraud in the state. Well, this morning, DHS posted on X that when agents recently tried to book a reservation at a Hampton Inn in Lakeville, Minnesota, about 30 minutes south of Minneapolis, the hotel canceled their reservation explicitly because some of the agents are doing immigration enforcement. DHS posted a screenshot of an email exchange allegedly with someone from the hotel that said, "We have noticed an influx of government reservations made today that have been for DHS, and we are not allowing any ICE or immigration agents to stay at our property. If you are with DHS or immigration, let us know, as we will have to cancel your reservation."
That's Fox's Garrett Tenney with that story.
8:11 with Ted and John here on KNSS.
Traffic in Wichita right now. We've got several accidents to watch out for. The good news is the traffic volumes are coming down, so things are starting to look better already in these areas. But we still have a traffic accident. It is affecting right. It's on the ramp from southbound I-235 over onto westbound Kellogg. So watch out for that. We have a traffic accident at the very end of the ramp from northbound I-135 over to K-96, and it's affecting north and southbound I-135. And, of course, we got a traffic accident at Patriot and Buckner in Derby. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
And here on this Tuesday, the first Tuesday morning of the year, let's take a look at our weather forecast. Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Sunny skies and record warm temperatures. Today will go for 64, which would break the record of 63 from 1903. All of that with a northwest wind, 5 to 15. Mostly clear, middle 30s tonight, becoming partly cloudy, continued mild on Wednesday, high 65. 60 on Thursday with a good chance of showers and thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And currently in Wichita, we do have a mostly clear sky, breeze out of the northwest. It is 44 degrees here on this Tuesday morning. Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Coming up on 8:13 here on KNSS, a massive 535-pound bluefin tuna has sold for a record $3.2 million.
Make Sorry, a good Charlie. Sandwich.
First auction of the year at Tokyo's Toyosu Fish Market. The top bidder for the prize tuna at the pre-dawn auction is owned by a conglomerate and a popular fish food chain. Kimura has won the annual auction many times in the past, broke the previous record of $2.1 million set 6 years ago.
It's a big fish.
Told reporters he's hoping to pay a bit less for it, but the price shot up just before you knew it. The auction started when the bell rang. The floor was filled with torpedo-shaped fish with their tails cut off so bidders could examine meat details such as color, texture, and fattiness while walking around the rows of tuna. The pricey fish was caught off the coast in northern Japan, a region widely regarded for producing some of the country's finest tuna, at the cost of more than $13,000 per kilogram. $6,000 per pound. $6,000 per pound.
Whew.
Sorry, Charlie.
That's some expensive tuna fish.
Hundreds of tuna are sold daily at the early morning auction, but prices are pretty higher than usual right now for Oma tuna, especially at the celebratory New Year auction. Because of the popularity of tuna for sushi and sashimi, Pacific bluefin tuna, previously a threatened species because of climate change and overfishing, but now its stock is recovering following conservation efforts. So once again, this was a 535-pound bluefin tuna that sold for more than $3 million.
I was just going to do the math on that. Wow.
It is, yeah. It's pretty impressive there.
Wow.
8:14 here with Ted and John here on KNSS. Today is, it's National Shortbread Day. Shortbread cookies. Dates all the way back to the 1100s. It became popular in the 1500s when Mary, Queen of Scots,
yep,
began serving petticoat tails.
Oh, I'm Scottish. I'm a MacLeod. My grandmother used to love to serve tea and shortbread.
Shortbread. Oh, yeah. For many years, it was considered a luxury that only the rich could have.
Yes.
Ordinary people would save up, and if they could afford it, they would serve shortbread at special occasions, yes, like weddings.
My grandmother served the shortbread cookies with tea. She had the Scottish accent and everything. A little brogue.
A friend of mine, she makes me shortbread cookies every Christmas, but she dips them in chocolate.
Yeah.
And man, those are tasty.
My grandmother would dip them in honey.
Mm.
Love. You got to love the Scottish shortbread cookies. They're
very
great.
Nice.
And there's the accent.
Mm. Apart from acting, of course, Pierce Brosnan, James Bond,
yes,
past, has a unique skill that he learned when he worked in the circus.
I did not know that.
He is a fire swallower.
Really?
Yeah. He can take that heated torch and stick it in his mouth and put it up. So he knows. Pierce Brosnan knows how to do that.
Learn something new every day.
So there you go. There's your little Pierce Brosnan trivia for the day. 8:16 here with Ted and John on KNSS.
Well, that was kind of like Steve Martin being able to do those rope tricks in Three Amigos. That was a skill he had.
Yeah,
he actually,
really? He knew how to do that. Yeah.
He knew how to, didn't he work in like a rodeo circuit or something?
He's worked a lot of different jobs.
Yeah, and so he knew how to do those rope tricks.
Steve Martin, national treasure. He's the best.
Banjo virtuoso.
Yep.
Yes.
He's really good on the banjo. It was 70 years ago on this day, the first Boeing B-52 Stratofortress landed at Wichita. 70 years ago. Can you imagine seeing that flying over Wichita and taking a landing? Those things are pretty nifty. That was 70 years ago on this day.
Hmm.
And one more note from long ago in history in Wichita. It was 130 years ago today, Judge David Dale, newly elected judge, his first act was establishing a no-smoking rule in his courtroom. So he was about 110 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Back then, everybody smoked everywhere.
Yeah.
They probably thought this guy was nuts. No smoking in my courtroom.
It's funny, my wife and I were watching, we decided to watch Mad Men over the holiday break, and we said, okay, we'll binge the TV series Mad Men. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
Oh, I have. Every episode.
Everybody watched that, or everybody smoked, and it was just interesting to watch because it's just constantly everybody smoking. But that reminds me of that. You know, you're right. Back then, everybody smoked.
And the thing that still amazes me is, in my lifetime, smoking was allowed on planes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Remember.
Everybody
yes.
got on a plane and lit
yeah,
up.
Yeah. And restaurants.
Cabin is filled with smoke.
And then they came up with the idea on airplanes that the smoking section in the plane. Like, that makes a big difference.
Right.
You're in a tube. Very You're a odd. Long metal tube. And there's a non-smoking section.
Oh, that's just nuts. All right. It is 8:18. You know what, guys? I left my sports cast in the other room, so you need to fill 25 seconds.
It is interesting that they are going to that they're already talking to Spags at the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's going to be fascinating with six head coaching jobs open in the NFL. This may be the year. I was actually talking to Dave Wilson down the hall about this yesterday. I think this may be the year that the Kansas City Chiefs lose one or two of their offensive.
Yeah, it seems like it might be likely. Yeah,
Because you've got so many openings already with Black Monday, with already six openings in head coaching jobs. This may be the year that the Chiefs lose one or two of their or one or both of their coordinators.
As the Tennessee Titans, looking for a new head coach, have requested to interview both Chiefs coordinators, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo and offensive coordinator Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
See what happens with all that.
They've had a lot of success. Huge. Look at what they've done with that franchise. Yes, Andy Reid gets some credit, obviously, but those two guys have been instrumental.
You had that more or less right in front of you the whole time, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was
in the pile of papers.
It was in the pile of paper, yeah. Okay.
All right. As John mentioned, six teams in the NFL have fired their head coaches, including the Atlanta Falcons, getting rid of a former Kansas State Wildcat.
Four straight wins to finish the season and the endorsement of some of the team's key players wasn't enough to save the jobs of Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris or general manager Terry Fontenot, with the team announcing that both, quote, have been dismissed from their roles a couple hours after the team wrapped up its final game on Sunday. The Falcons had losing records all 5 years at Fontenot as GM and went 8-9 in both of Morris's years as head coach. And the franchise hasn't been to the playoffs since the 2017 season. In a statement, the team said one consulting firm will assist on the GM search, while a different one will work on the coaching search, with both happening at the same time. Greg Thompson, Fox News.
Raheem Morris, the former defensive coordinator at K-State back in 2006. Find it interesting that even NFL teams now can no longer hire without paying a consulting firm six figures to
do it for them. Even though they've got massive GM staff and within it, they still have to go outside and find somebody to search.
All right, we have college men's basketball in Lawrence tonight. It is the Big 12 Conference home opener for Kansas. Jayhawks are ranked 22nd in the nation, hosting TCU. Jayhawks are 10-4. TCU is 11-3. Jayhawks are a 7.5-point favorite in that game tonight on home court. KU has dominated TCU over the years, 27-4 all time. That'll tip off at 8 o'clock tonight up in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse, nationally televised on ESPN. And we have college women's basketball tonight for Wichita State. Shocker women trying to snap a 3-game losing streak, hosting Temple on father-daughter night. That'll tip off at 6 o'clock tonight at Coke Arena on the Wichita State campus. And it was 120 years ago on this day that the Shocker women played their first ever basketball game. It was a matchup against Wichita High School, Fairmount College against Wichita High. The Shockers lost that game 16-13. But you got to start somewhere. Got to play that first game somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
That was 120 years ago on this day.
We're doing a lot of history today.
Turned into one of those days.
That's right.
Hey, that is Sports with Ted and John, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Dub Event Venue at WBC Delano. Perfect for graduation parties, meetings, and reunions. Visit www.wichitabrew.com to begin your booking at the Dub Event Venue at WBC Delano, where groups gather. It is 8:22 with Ted and John here on KNSS. We have a traffic and weather update on the way, and Maduro remains defiant and arrogant. That's on the Sean Hannity Morning Minute, next on KNSS.
Wichita's number one talk. This is Woodward and Witt on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
It is 8:31. You are listening to KNSS here on Tuesday, January 6th.
Tim Walz, the Democrats' 2024 vice presidential candidate, says he will not run for a third term as Minnesota governor. With us now is Fox News' Jeff Manasso to help us understand the reasoning behind that decision. Jeff, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, it's good to be with you. What a fall from grace.
Yeah.
From one Democrat VP nominee and two-term governor.
It's a lot of speculation on this, Jeff. I think a lot of folks think it's largely due to the speculation because of these allegations of fraud. It's upwards of $9 billion. He didn't list that as one of the reasons, but I have to think that that's one of the reasons that he's chosen to make this decision.
It is the only reason he's leaving, because of the political pressure, because Minnesotans, no matter what your stripe is politically, you're witnessing the fallout and the absolute theft of billions of dollars, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And you're seeing fraudulent businesses and people, being enriched off the taxpayer, off of the mom and pop who are working perhaps two jobs to try and make ends meet and doing everything the right way, only to be left a sucker. When you're seeing checks now being written to car dealerships to the tune of $93,000 for a Porsche for the owner of one daycare center, and the lavish lifestyles, the homes that are being purchased, not just in Minnesota but overseas in Africa, and others and political donations, it's enough to boil the blood of any common Minnesotan, no matter what your political stripe is. And that was Tim Walz's problem. His people got together and said, look, we're losing support because Nick Shirley, federal prosecutors, they're coming with receipts. And, it's difficult to overcome politically, and so we'll see what Tim Walz's future looks like, in what whether or not he's going to even remain as governor throughout this next year, where his term is up next year. President Trump on Truth Social saying that Minnesota's corrupt governor will possibly leave office before his term is up. He went on, but he also said that nobody is above the law. This independent journalist, Nick Shirley, whose viral expose sparked national outrage over the rampant Somali fraud in Minnesota, posting on X yesterday that he ended Tim Walz. Elon Musk chimed in, thank God. Minnesota's Republican rep and House Majority Whip Tom Emmer saying of Governor Walz, good riddance.
Wow.
This as Democrats, state and national Democrats are lauding the governor for his work in Minnesota and nationally, saying he was a great politician, he's a great man. The governor saying that essentially his decision was, he was pointing to political gamesmanship from Republicans and President Trump and so-called right-wing YouTubers that would make it harder for him to win. As for his political future, we now know that he met with Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar over the weekend, and she has confirmed her interest in running for governor. She's made no announcement yet. There's reportedly a plan in place that she gets the governor's chair, and then she appoints him as U.S. Senator, Tim Walz as U.S. Senator, to fill out the remainder of her term, which ends in 2030. That is also an uphill battle.
So hold on. So I was going to ask about that. Fox News is reporting, that she is considering a run, but you think this is reminiscent of what happened here in Kansas back in the 50s, where they call it the triple play, where the governor resigned and then had his lieutenant governor appoint him to our Supreme Court. You're saying that there's some sort of a possibility of a conspiracy where Walz could resign and then she would appoint her and then she would then turn around and appoint him to her Senate seat?
Yeah, well, it's not that he would resign, that she would run for governor in 26, that she would win, but her term is up in 2030. So she would need, as governor, she would need to appoint somebody to fill her seat. And it's being reported that that is a plan that is in play. But it's also a plan that I think if you're being honest, it is going to be an uphill battle because she's going to be asked about that on the campaign trail.
Oh, sure.
Run. And Democrats, look, he doesn't have the support of Democrats in the state. That's why he's out. So that may hurt her. Of course, politicians say one thing, then they get in the office, and then they do something else. Once she's governor, if she were to become governor, she wouldn't have to abide by any rules, any handshake that she did with Tim Walz. A lot of inside stuff. Who knows? These are all allegations, and this is the base, but reportedly happening behind the scenes. But look, this story into fraud in Minnesota is only going to get bigger, and it's also going to get grow nationally as you've got independent journalists coming with receipts in cities across the country about similar cases of rampant fraud. We'll see where it goes, but it's one heck of a story.
Yesterday we spoke to one of your colleagues about the governor's races that they're watching nationwide. This is, Minnesota's a fairly blue state. It doesn't put this seat in jeopardy to a Republican contender, does it?
It may. Minnesota hasn't had a Republican governor since Tim Pawlenty back in the early 2000s, but it very well could. I know Minnesota, a couple of state house seats flipped red in the last election cycle. So the house, actually the state house, is now controlled by Republicans, even though it's essentially a tie. It's just the way it worked out, but anything can happen. But when you see rampant fraud like this, and if Minnesotans find out that they have been ripped off to the tune of billions, perhaps tens of billions of dollars, there may be heck to pay for the party in charge.
Hmm. Well, fascinating. Jeff, we appreciate you bringing us the story and taking the time this morning. A fascinating conversation. We'll make sure to keep an eye on it.
You bet. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir.
Jeff Manasso from Fox News with us here with Ted and John.
It's 8:49 with Ted and John on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Kirk Seminoff with the Wichita Business Journal update coming up in a moment. Now it's Ted and John on three big things.
Three.
Wichita police are working on a new drone hive that will be used to help them on active calls throughout Old Town and downtown.
Two.
Eberly Firm will no longer be an active event center. The facility has been sold to St. John the Second Independent Catholic School.
One.
An opposition group has been formed to oppose the Wichita Forward Independent Group and their plan for an $850 million Wichita sales tax. That's three big things with Ted and John on KNSS. Let's take a look at traffic.
And right now in traffic, we've got the traffic volumes continuing to dwindle out there, which is definitely some good news. We do have some crashes. However, things have been improving there. We've still got some pretty slow traffic on the ramp from northbound I-235 over onto eastbound K-96 at the moment due to a traffic accident that was there eastbound on K-96. But looks like things are starting to get just a little bit better there. Still got that traffic accident, Patriot Avenue and Buckner at Derby. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. The Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 65. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 64. Right now in Wichita, it's 44 degrees. At Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
8:51 with Ted and John. Coming up after our show, it's the Glenn Beck Program. A lot of special guests coming up this morning, including at 9:30. Special guest, U.S. Senator Mike Lee from Utah, talking about the constitutionality of the U.S. strike on Venezuela. Glenn Beck coming up after Ted and John. Now it's time to get a local business update from the editor of the Wichita Business Journal, It's Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Ted. The city's largest accounting firm has a new CEO. Alan Gibbs and Hulick has named Aaron Dunn to the job, replacing longtime CEO Paul Allen, who's moving into the firm's chairman of the board position. Allen was part of AGH's founding members, who took the company private and separate from a national firm in 1987. Dunn is a Valley Center native who has been with AGH for 30 years, most recently as a senior vice president for assurance services. This move is almost 2 years in the making, as Dunn was the board of directors' choice in 2024 to succeed Allen, and the two have been working together on the transition ever since. AGH has 114 employees locally, plus another 20 or so in an Overland Park office. And the new year signaled the completion of the latest acquisition for Wichita's only publicly traded bank. Equity Bank's merger with Nebraska's Frontier Bank became final last week, officially expanding the Wichita Bank to 89 locations in six states. The seven Nebraska locations that are now branded as Equity Bank added $1.4 billion in assets, giving Equity $7.9 billion in total assets after the $122.8 million deal. Filings with the SEC show Frontier Bank receives 2.22 million shares of equity stock and 32.5 million in cash. Frontier's local leadership stays in place and no branches are expected to close or consolidate. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
All right. Thank you, Kirk. And of course, we'll check in with Kirk for more local business updates tomorrow, twice every hour with Ted and John in the 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock hours. We get great local business stories from the Wichita Business Journal. 8:53 with Ted and John. This is a big day. The world's oldest known Twinkie is turned 50 years old. So here's what happened. There was a chemistry teacher in Maine. He opened up the package in 1976, 50 years ago.
One of my students just happened to ask me, well, how long would a Twinkie last? And I said, well, let's do an experiment. So I gave the student a cup.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A couple of dollars, asked the student to go down to Merrill and Hinckley's and pick up a package of Twinkies. I basically unripped the package, ate one of the Twinkies, and then put the other package up on the chalkboard. I basically say the Twinkie has become much like me. It's older, it's grayer, and it's more flaky, you know, but it's become more brittle, so you could no longer take it. You know, you wouldn't want to whack it on a table because you'd probably shatter the Twinkie.
The image of a gray 50-year-old Twinkie.
Isn't that appealing?
Ugh.
Yeah. So this is a guy. This guy's a chemistry teacher in Maine, and apparently that Twinkie has been at the school ever since. It has not left the grounds. So here's what he did. Now, he retired 21 years ago. So he was 29 years into this and gave up.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture here.
He handed it off to a student from that class who is now the dean of that school. And now she has had it in a glass case now for the last 22 years.
John, I know you really didn't want me to turn that around and show you that picture, did you?
No, that does not look like a Twinkie anymore.
It still has the basic Twinkie shape.
It does have the shape.
It doesn't look like something you want to eat.
No, and it doesn't look, it's no longer yellow. It's clearly more grayish.
It is fully dried out. It looks more like a tiny, very stale loaf of bread.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or something else.
Like a fossilized something or other. Yeah.
Now, back then, the official shelf life of a Twinkie was supposedly somewhere around 26 days. Hostess now says Twinkies are optimal.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
For 45 days because of better packaging that we had in 1976.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
So there's the world's oldest Twinkie. This is his 50th birthday.
So today we've
still going strong.
We've discussed Twinkies and the McRib.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lunch. That's, yep. I'm hungry.
That's now, the way it goes.
It's official. I'm hungry. I want Twinkies and McRib for lunch.
Hey, we're glad you've been with us here for this Tuesday show. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck and then the Dana Show with Dana Lash, the Sean Hannity Show, and news updates all day. Ted and John in the morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS Wichita, looking for record warmth. Have a great Tuesday.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDonald.